Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Now, coming up on the show, we talk to Dr. Bob Gill, a general practitioner from the UK who is now a filmmaker. But first, English poet and playwright Robert Browning once wrote, "Grow old with me, the best is yet to be." I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he must have seen the National Health Service in the future. He's a futurist, Browning. Is that right, Stacy?
Well, of course, the NHS has hit 70 years old this year. Now, in the modern age, maybe that's not considered old age anymore, because 70 is probably the new 20 or 30 or something like that. Nevertheless, we have hit 70 years old, and our guest coming up, Dr. Bob Gill, has a film about the NHS, a documentary film that we're going to talk about. But first, here's two headlines from this week regarding the NHS. NHS operation waiting list reaches 10-year high at 4.3 million patients. So the growing numbers are having to wait more than the supposed maximum of 18 weeks for planned non-urgent surgery, such as a cataract removal or hip or knee replacement. And the second headline reads, the NHS still owns and uses almost 9,000 fax machines. Apparently, the NHS is actually the largest buyer of fax machines in the world.
Yeah, who knew it? Here's a quote from Richard Kerr, chair of the RCS Commission on the Future of Surgery. He says, the NHS Hospital Trust remained stubbornly attached to using archaic fax machines for a significant proportion of their communications. This is ludicrous. He then goes on to criticize them because they're investing in new technologies like artificial intelligence and robotics, but while still clinging to the old technologies, and so, of course, they don't match up. So I had no idea. That's a lot of fax machines, Stacey.
Well, it's quite amusing. It's kind of like when we were living in France and they still had the telex machine, let alone the fax machine, which is even older technology. But it is an interesting point about the whole advancement in AI and things like that and robotics being used in surgery in a day and age when, well, still they still have the phone, right? Like the landline, that's pretty old technology. But all of these headlines lead to basically the funding of the National Health Service. Healthcare is a major political issue around the world. I think it was quite a determining political issue in the 2016 U.S. elections. Of course, that does not get covered because of Russiagate and because of the political nature of Obamacare and the forced consumption of this overpriced private healthcare insurance. But in the United Kingdom, you have the government-run healthcare system, government-funded, taxpayer-funded, the doctors and the hospitals all work basically for the government, for the taxpayer. It's one of the most pure, I guess, of a national health service rather than, say, like France, where there's a whole mixture of insurance and private insurance and things like that.
Yeah, right, exactly. So it has this idea where it's free at the point of delivery. So people have this experience of going into the NHS, into the hospital, and it's free. Of course, it's not free. It has to be paid through taxes, and apparently, we'll find out more from Dr. Bob, but apparently those finances are not in great shape.
Well, it certainly has been, it's a political football. So whoever's in government, whoever's in power in the United Kingdom gets to basically cut the service and make it look like it's the NHS. The headlines will read that the NHS is failing. Dr. Bob Gill, it's a 70-year birthday for the NHS. Give us a brief history of how and why it was created before we even get into talking about it.
Well, the circumstances after the war forced government to cut a new deal with the population and start looking after the public. And the NHS was a key pillar of the welfare state. And from 1948 up until the Thatcher-Reagan era, you had a health system which was delivered no qualifications, had nothing to do with your ability to pay, and it was all about your need. Now, ever since its inception, the NHS has been underfunded compared to other health systems, but it delivered a great deal of bang for buck because the administration charges were less than 5%. If you compare it to the American system or the hybrid European Bismarckian systems, the administration costs have always been low until the privatization started getting going in the late 80s and has been going ever since.
So when you talk about that, basically it becomes the high paid consultants and the KPMGs and PwCs and those sort of people have entered your healthcare system. And that's kind of a stealth way to do it rather than say, put it on the front line. It's in the back end where all the costs are being racked up.
Oh, yes. Well, Thatcher, she was not stupid. She realized that to destroy the NHS in one massive quick privatization, like they did with the utilities, gas, electricity, water, there would be a revolution in this country. So they decided very clearly, and it's documented in some of the government papers that have been released, this must be done by stealth and it must be done secretly. So they have got on with the job, steadily repurposing the NHS, turning it from a public service into a corporate entity, racking it up quite deliberately with private finance initiative debts. Those debts are now coming home to roost, and they will be the excuse for the land grab, the asset strip that will occur on NHS property. And, you know, the culture has had to be changed. So now we have a leadership dominated by people who are former bankers or big four accountants. Meanwhile, the medical leadership that was genuinely interested in patient care has been sidelined. And you have doctors who are willing to line themselves up with this project, but they're not really looking after the patient's interest now. It's all about money, and the big players are the insurance industry, the property developers, and the data miners, the people like Google, DeepMind, who want the data.
All right, Dr. Bob, we've talked about the NHS a few times and the land grab and the privatization. You have remained steadfast in your fight to protect the NHS. You've now in your second documentary film. Let's focus on the positives. What can we do now to stop this march toward wholesale privatization, Dr. Bob?
There are positives, Max. There has been pushback. There are local campaign groups. There have been legal challenges. When Oliver Letwin made his prediction, he said, within 5 years, Oliver Letwin is a Conservative MP. He was at the root of the privatization back in 1988 when he worked for NM Rothschild's bank in the privatization unit. He is a key figure. And when the Tories were in opposition, he said, when we get into government, this will all be done and dusted within 5 years. That should have been done in 2015. We're in 2018, and they are getting worried. The project has been slowed down by campaigners, by the information getting out there. And we saw only last week a key organization, the Institute of Economic Affairs, which is a right-wing think tank, went out of their way. And on the BBC, they tried very hard to persuade the public we are not copying the American system. So clearly they are worried, the word is getting out, that this is an American hostile takeover. So we need to get the information out. Our documentary will demystify the scam that has been going on and also explain to the public you cannot privatize something that is functioning well. You have to defund it, make it collapse, and report all the negative headlines that Stacey referred to earlier on.
It's quite fascinating that you say that this right-wing think tank had to go onto the BBC and say we're not going to have an American system, because Max and I travel back and forth between the United Kingdom and the United States often, and we are subjected to Obamacare here and have participated and been patients of the National Health Service. But one thing you do see is that as these political debates revolve around healthcare provision, is that in each country, the other is used as a warning. So in the US, when all the debates going on about healthcare and provision of it and the Obamacare, is what we saw is a lot of the right wing, a lot of the Republicans were saying, we don't want a UK healthcare system, where they talked about it as a failing system. And then you go to the United Kingdom, and Max and I were there just a week or two ago, and there was a big giant protest and, well, celebration of the NHS right outside BBC headquarters. Obviously, that has to do with some sort of propaganda, and maybe not like a black propaganda, but white propaganda, you know, the spinning of the other and your own system. What do you say about that in terms of you, the United Kingdom NHS, being upheld in the United States as something we don't want?
Well, I think, again, it depends on the population. If the general public in America don't understand the NHS and its low overhead, its good outcomes, if you look at the cost per capita, well, clearly they're going to fall for the spin. And mainstream media has kept the Americans in the dark because they're more interested in satisfying the insurance companies. Big Pharma, the insurance companies, have captured democracy in America, and they've captured all healthcare spend. It has to go through their hands. So clearly they don't want a system which shows how bad their system is. So not only do the American health corporations like United Health want to destroy the NHS for profit, they also want to destroy a model that shows them up.
Right. And there was one other question I have to follow up on that is that, you know, your film, what does your film concentrate on? What is the great NHS heist looking at in terms of, I know you traveled to the United States, so how does that play into your film? What are you showing? Where can people watch your film?
The core of the film is to explain to people what is at stake here. This is about grabbing assets. It's an asset stripping exercise. And we've divided it up into three main assets: the land, the property, the patient data, and of course the recurring £120 billion budget. And we've been to America because the people who are hovering, the vultures who are hovering over the NHS, happen to be American. So you've got McKinsey, you've got KPMG, and you've got United Health. We've got, for example, the guy leading the NHS at the moment is Simon Stevens. He was formerly head of United Health's Global Expansion Division. You couldn't make it up. The reason we went to America is to say, look, this is Christmas future. This is how it works. And we spoke to Wendell Potter, who was head of PR for the health insurance industry in the States. And he told us exactly what we were worried about. He said, look, this is how it's going to work. These are the lies and deceptions that you will be spun. And this is behind the scenes. This is how policy is altered. You've got the think tanks, you've got the big four accountants, you've got the management consultants. And if you look at the NHS, they are there. They've infiltrated every tier of the NHS to propagandize and mislead the population and also keep the wool over the eyes of the professionals who, unfortunately, still the majority don't understand what's going on.
You know, one other thing I noticed in looking at these headlines from this week, NHS operation waiting list reached 10-year high at 4.3 million patients, is that you have a lot of the big issues around the world, like climate change. There was the second busiest month in NHS history in June because of the heat wave. But you also have the austerity also causing the long waiting lists, is because a lot of elderly people no longer have social services that have been now cut in austerity measures. So they are basically what they call bed hoggers or something like that. They're unable to be discharged from hospital because there's nowhere for them to go because there's no community help for them any longer. What do you say about that?
Well, you've hit on a key subject. It's a deliberate defunding. It's the defunding of social care, so people will end up in hospital. But the austerity itself creates the diseases of despair. So depression, alcohol, drug use. So the demand has gone up. The resources have been deliberately squeezed. If you look historically, the average budget rise for the NHS every year since the war was about 4%. Since 2010, it's been around 1%. So there's a 3% defunding quite deliberately for the last 8 years. It should surprise nobody that the NHS is struggling. One thing I want to mention is you need a driver to get people to think insurance might be a good idea. So you have to have a failing NHS. Another thing they announced very recently is that the bureaucrats within the NHS have decided 17 operations within the NHS are no longer necessary. Now, if they were not necessary based on clinical evidence, you would say they should be banned and nobody should provide them. However, the private sector is allowed to provide them, and these are profitable, easy to perform procedures. So you can see how the insurance market, the private healthcare provision market, is being emboldened and reinforced whilst the NHS is being slowly starved to death.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the analogies of a, you know, patient being dissected and ripped apart and made ill applies to the entire system. It's quite remarkably horrible in many ways. But Dr. Bob, glad to hear this film is finished and coming out, and we anxiously await viewing the film. I'm sure it's great. Thanks for being on Double Down. And that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert on Sputnik Radio. Thanks to our guest, Dr. Bob Gill. Until next week. Bye, y'all.